Ευχαριστούμε που κάνετε download από τη ραδιοφωνία SBS. Πληροφορηθείτε για το πώς μπορείτε να ακούσετε το πλήρες πρόγραμμά μας στο sbs.com.au/greek.
Dear listeners, Australia's ambassador to Greece, Mr. John Griffin, is in Australia the last few days. And among his other obligations, he will be having meetings with representatives of the Greek-Australian communities here and will also be visiting some Greek-Australian institutions. His Excellency is with us today to have a chat about his post in Athens and some of the meetings he will be having. Your Excellency, Mr. Griffin, many thanks for talking to the Greek language program of SBS Radio.
It's a pleasure, Themi, and please call me John. Every time someone calls me Your Excellency, I look behind me to see who they're talking to.
Now, John, I believe you are serving now in Athens for nearly 3 years. Can yes. I ask you initially for your general observation on Greece, its people, and maybe the efforts they make to put the country on a stable financial route again?
It's been an uplifting but also a very stressful sort of 3 years. I mean, first and foremost, of course, you discover a wonderful and ancient civilization. The phrase by Poe, Edgar Allan Poe, the glory that was Greece, keeps coming to mind. There's lots of wonderful things to see. And also the resilience of the Greek people in the face of their current adversity is very uplifting. But there is adversity, and the social cost of the crisis, which has been going on for, I don't know, 7, 8 years now, is very distressing to see. The country has made heroic efforts to redress its fiscal situation, but what's needed is some sectors to help grow the economy out of the current recession. And I've done my best to promote modest synergies between Australia and Greece that might help to stimulate economic activity. Because fiscal discipline is important, but you need also to stimulate growth.
Now, we often talk about the large and great Greek presence in Australia. However, there is also significant Australian presence in Greece. For example, the centenary of the Anzac campaign is closely associated with Limnos. There is the commemorative events annually for the Battle of Crete. We have Australian soldiers resting in the Phaleron War Cemetery and other war cemeteries, just to name a few examples of the landmarks of the common history of the two nations. Can you please, John, elaborate on these events and the common bonds?
Oh, they've been the highlights of my time in Greece. The people-to-people links, which of course we get, well, they culminated in the great period of mass migration after World War II. But there was Greek migration before that. I was talking to my mother, who is 91 and thankfully still alive, and we grew up in a very small town of Mackay, and she reminded me of Greeks who owned cafes there before the war. She said, surely you remember Zaglas Cafe beside the Princess Theatre? Of course I remember Zaglas Cafe. But the big wave of migration, of course, came after World War II. But before that, as you rightly mentioned, Temi, there was the Gallipoli campaign, the attack on the Ottoman Empire, which was launched from the Greek island of Lemnos. It also became a hospital station for the wounded, and the hospitals were staffed by Australian nurses. So on the centenary of Anzac 2015, we had some very, very moving ceremonies on Lemnos. We had a visit by the Navy ship, HMAS Success, by our Chief of Navy, Admiral Barrett. There are two large Commonwealth War cemeteries there, and the whole thing was very moving. Moving on to last year, Battle of Crete was the 75th anniversary, and that was especially moving because in Lemnos, it was so long ago, it was a question of reviving memories. But in Crete, people still remember very vividly their fathers, their uncles, their grandfathers, hiding Australian servicemen when the campaign in Crete collapsed and trying to get them down to the beaches for evacuation to Egypt. So those memories are very alive. And what I want to do this year, as well as during the formal commemorations, is visit some of those villages where the memories of sheltering Australians are still alive and say thank you. And, of course, coming up, as you said, is the annual Anzac Day ceremony at the Commonwealth War Cemetery at Phaleron on the sea near Athens, which is where most of the 795 Australian servicemen are dead or remembered. Not all their graves have been found. And that's always a very powerful moment too.
Now, John, in the last few years, the two countries have signed the work and holiday visa scheme, which allows, I think, 500 young people from each country to travel to the other, and while holidaying, being able to partly work. What is the progress of this scheme and how it has been embraced?
Well, I've given it my all, Temi, I promise you. It was signed, I was here before I went to, it was signed here before I went to Athens. It was in May 2014, and I watched it signed in Parliament House between our then my immigration minister and Olga Kefalyani, the tourism minister in the then Samaras government. And we've been ready to go pretty much since then, because for us, we've got lots of these schemes. They're very popular and they're very productive, and they introduce the young people of different cultures to Australia and vice versa. And for us, it's a sub-treaty agreement. It doesn't have to go through Parliament. It's a memorandum of understanding. We've got a template. We know how they work, ready to go. On the Greek side, it's more complicated. It has to go through Parliament. And I can claim some credit, I think, for getting it. Well, no, it wasn't me, but I helped promote the adoption of it by the Greek Parliament in December 2015. But then the administrative process of administering on the Greek side is it's slow. It's slow. But we're doing our best to push it along, because particularly with unemployment, youth unemployment so high in Greece, it's a wonderful opportunity to give 500 Greeks in this direction and 500 Australians in the other direction, of course. It's not an employment scheme, but at least it gives young Greeks a chance to come to a new country, explore new horizons, as you say, work, holiday, and just think about their future.
So, John, am I right in assuming, concluding that from the Hellenic side, it has not yet been formally ratified?
Oh, been ratified by Parliament, but then it has to go. It's a complicated story. But yes, the implementing procedures have yet to be formalized in Greece.
So it's not in force yet.
Not in force yet. No.
Okay. In simple words. Now, John, do you have any statistics about the two-way travel between Australia and Greece?
Yes, it's a healthy story. There's about 8,400 short-term arrivals into Australia from Greece last year. That's a 13% increase on the previous year. So Greeks are travelling here. And in the other direction, Australians coming to Greece is about 83,700, and that's a 3% increase. They're our statistics, I should say, Australian statistics. Elstat, the Greek statistical agency, their numbers are a bit lower, but in the same ballpark. And then in terms of permanent migration, as you know, we're not a country of mass migration anymore, but we do have defined categories for migration of family migration, business migration, skilled migration, humanitarian, that's the refugee intake, of course. And those numbers are about, for family migration, about 250 a year, having risen to about 400 at the peak of the crisis. Skilled migration, it was up from about 90 a year to 130 in 2015-16. And also there are student visas, they're temporary visas, of course, and student visas are steady at around 600 or 700 a year, having peaked at about 850 at the height of the crisis in Greece.
Of course, John, there are those people who left Australia as kids with their parents when they repatriated. Mm. And now, maybe with the crisis, financial crisis in Greece, many of them are returning to Australia, making a good use of the Australian citizenship they have by birth and the Australian passport. But these figures are a bit hard to calculate, aren't they?
Yeah, we don't track Australian citizens coming into the country. So, no, we don't track that. But also, it's not a country of mass migration anymore. Just having a passport isn't as simple as it used to be. Well, of course, it's simple. If you're in Australia, you can come to the country, but you've got to develop your networks. You've got to find employment. So in terms of people who are leaving Greece because of the crisis, most of them have been going to Western Europe, most of the young people in particular. It's about 480,000 Greeks, I think, have migrated since the beginning of the crisis, and they go to Western Europe because they've got freedom of movement within the European Union, freedom of employment, and that's where they've headed.
Now, John, the economic ties between the two countries, how would you describe the level that they are, At which sectors are they strong, and where can one say there are opportunities for further development?
Well, historically, despite the strong people-to-people links, there has been very little trade and investment between the two countries. Trade is heavily in Greece's favour. Aluminium, oddly enough, is a big Greek export to Australia. It's difficult trying to promote investment into Greece in current circumstances because, as a previous Western ambassador in Athens used to say, investors have choices. And the atmosphere of crisis which has hung around Greece now for 7 or 8 years is not propitious to investment. The Greek government and the EU creditors of Greece recognize Greece has a job of work to do in making the country more business friendly. The World Bank publishes an index of the ease of doing business, and on that index, Australia is number 15 and Greece is number 61. So the task of modernizing the civil service, removing red tape, making business regulations and taxation more predictable, all of that is something which is work in progress on the Greek side. What I've done is try and promote complementarities where things that we do well could possibly spark off in Greece. For instance, our fine foods and wine is a good revenue earner for Australia, and the quality of Greek wines and food is absolutely excellent, but needs better marketing and promotion. Similarly, tourism. Greece, of course, tourism is the big money earner for Greece, but it's April to September, sea, sand, sun, souvlaki, and then nothing. Whereas, there's the whole rest of the year that could be strategically and sensitively exploited for people who want to do winter tourism, agro-tourism, cultural tourism. That's a skill that we've learned, and we make quite a decent income out of it. So there are complementarities or synergies between the two countries that we could, I've been trying to promote. With some innovative economic policy making, Greece is wonderfully well situated to be a logistics and services hub for the Eastern Mediterranean region. It's a stable Western democracy. It's got good infrastructure. The Chinese have recently invested in Piraeus Port with a view to building logistics links up into Central Europe. And, of course, services and logistics is something that Australia is very good at. So there's lots of potential there, and I've done my best to promote it, but for the moment it's still in the realm of potential.
Now, lastly, John, can you tell me, according to your opinion, what is the general feeling, the general picture that the Greek people have for Australia, and what can the embassy do to promote a positive picture for Australia in the Hellenic society?
Well, in trying to promote business links, I've encountered in Greek business circles a very old-fashioned view of Australia as a faraway Anglo country where it's mainly rural industries and we load things into ships and sail them halfway around the world to England. And also it's fair to say that Greek business people tend to be mainly focused on the EU, the Mediterranean region, and a bit of transatlantic. So trying to broaden those horizons has been part of my job. Young people have got a very positive image of Australia, which probably explains those tourist numbers I mentioned earlier. We're a young, dynamic, sophisticated, multicultural society, a diverse country with a strong civil society, and we're in a region of strong economic growth. So young Greeks are obviously coming here to check us out. In promoting a positive image of Australia and Greece, which is a standard tool in the diplomatic toolkit called public diplomacy, as well as showcasing our achievements, which I try and do in the sort of stuff I've just been talking about, but also in the arts, in sciences. But I also think public diplomacy should be very much about our national values. And a core national value, I believe, is the fair go. So in a country with so much distress, social distress going on, I've done my best to promote projects that promote social inclusion. For instance, my partner and I have appeared every year in something called Diplomats in Concert, where diplomats stationed in Athens perform in a concert and raise money for SOS Children's Villages, which is for children without parents or homes. The mayor of Athens has a charity, and St. Basil's, you mentioned, provided container loads of goods for distribution through that charity. It's called Kiada. And so some surplus embassy kit we donated to them to help the poor and the needy in Athens. People with special needs. It struck me you don't see people with special needs, people with disabilities in the streets in Athens. And so we reached out to a school which is not far from the Phalerong War Cemetery, Agios Dimitrios, and we had those kids and their carers round to the embassy, along with some people from the media, to highlight the fact that people in society have special needs. And the true test of a great society is how it cares for the weakest members. So that's just an example of the things that I've tried to do at the embassy to showcase the Australian value of social inclusion.
And with these words, John, we thank you immensely once again for finding the time to speak to the Greek language program of SBS Radio. We wish you every success.
Thank you very much, Timmy. See you later in Sydney. Cheers.
Ακούσατε το ελληνικό πρόγραμμα της ραδιοφωνίας SBS. Μπορείτε να μας ακούτε στο ραδιοφωνό σας ζωντανά κάθε μέρα από τις 4 έως τις 6 το απόγευμα. Μπορείτε επίσης να ακούτε το πρόγραμμά μας on demand από την ιστοσελίδα μας και από την εφαρμογή του κινητού SBS Radio. Επισκεφτείτε το sbs.com.au / Greek.